Welcome back to everybody for Mindful Monday, Living in the Presence. This section is titled Bruchim Abayim. It's based on pages 166 to 171. And really sort of step back as we just left Sukkot, Simchas Torah, and Shmini Atzeres, but to focus on a very, very interesting Torah from the Baal Tanya that, and you'll see where I'm going with this in a second. We talked about this. I've been really thinking about this a lot over the course of Sukkot as a whole. We understand that when we have a sukkah, we spend so much time with a sukkah in terms of building it and thinking what you can eat, what you can't eat, and trying to get away from eating in it, or like thinking, do I have to eat in it, or saying I should have eaten it, and we don't really think so much about it as when you're building a sukkah, you're really creating space. And we use the phrase a lot, definitely in pop psychology, and to talk about creating space. But really to, like, making a place, making space, making room, that entire concept that you created, like, a structure. Then you're, like, in this structure, in this place. And then, on top of all of that, there's a teaching from the Zohar, which sort of trickles down into common practice and sukkah decorations, of course, and coloring sheets. There's the nature of the Ushpizin, the guests. And, on one hand, I'm sure we've all heard some cute stories that people have told, over the course of a person's the teacher's Yom Tov preparations. And, of course, there's a tefillah to say, and it's in the Siddurim, and it just says that we were taught that they're visited by the spiritual guests. But the Tanya has this really, really fascinating explanation that, he said you've made space in your world, and all of a sudden, he says, imagine a very honored guest appears suddenly and without warning. Right? And all of a sudden, this guest appears. And what's so fantastic in terms of thinking about what this means is that you have seven guests on Sukkot. They correspond to what we refer to, the jargon is the Sheva Midos Halev, the seven attributes of the heart which correspond to a person's emotions, a person's emotional reality. Right? A person's emotional reality of all these different complicated feelings, and as it goes on, it becomes more and more complicated because it goes from the more abstract, it could be the effect of a book that I'm reading right now, but the word in German would be Reine, like the constantly wrote a book called the criticism of pure reason. So they use the word Reine for it. It's more abstract. It's more, as it were, pure. And then it comes more filters down to this world. It gets more enmeshed in lots of different other realities. So the more they go down, the more these attributes are a little bit more complicated. But so we have all these different emotions that are all predicated on Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. So all Midos Halev, or all emotions. So then the Sukkah takes on this really, really fascinating construct that you've made this place in your heart and your world, and every night you're visited by a guest. Now what's funny is that they're visited by a guest, and you like parse that out more. Visited meaning temporarily. The Sukkah is, as we say, is a Diras Arai. Or Diras Arai, if you want to get totally Ashkenazic. Right? It's totally, totally temporary. So the feeling, the emotion comes in and then leaves. Which then is such a beautiful segue to this chapter in Dr. Benji's book of really experiencing our emotions. And it's important to understand, as we know, that our feelings come in and they go. And part of having these emotions and moods, these emotions, they come and they go. And so much of our mental state depends on our focusing on them and also releasing them. Like the feelings come and go. The more that we live in them and judge them, we have different relationships with all these different feelings. And therefore the sukkah, this piece from the Tanya, is so beautiful in understanding the same way that, you know, that with the title of Bruchim Abayim, because it's about realizing the feeling as they come in the same way, just like one of those pieces, and each one of those seven pieces, and it's just like another one of those, as it were, only partially holding on to part of what this entire thing means. But one of these meanings that the Ushpizan is each one of these different feelings that you're meeting inside you, emotions that you're meeting inside of you. And each one that I'm meeting, I can ignore or I can greet. Right? I can struggle against it, or I could try to throw, you know, someone comes to the sukkah, I can either throw them out, or I could greet them and bring them in. And the truth is that we all have emotions. And we all have lots of feelings, and some of our upbringing, whether it's religious and in a certain paradigm, or whether it's the way that we've been raised, or whether it's a million different reasons, you know, there's certain emotions that we feel are good, are approvable. There's certain emotions that we feel are not approvable. They're not good. Right? That we're embarrassed to have them. So then what happens is that, so I might have a feeling which to me I feel is scary for me, is dangerous for me, or whatever. So I feel bad about feeling bad. And when you feel bad about feeling bad, and then you try not to feel bad because you felt bad, and then you feel bad because you still can't feel any better. And you feel bad because you feel bad because you felt bad. And then you try to avoid feeling bad, and you're afraid to feel bad. So now you're afraid of feeling bad, so now you're being afraid because you're afraid of feeling bad because you were afraid of feeling bad again. And what happens is that I get into this whole, we would call it, chagadia, of chasing myself around in a circle of feeling bad for feeling bad, instead of being able to, you know, to welcome the feeling, to say, okay, this is a feeling. The feeling can be scary to me, but that's okay. Like welcoming it all, as it were, into my sukkah, if you would.
Like, I've heard that story before.
Right?
Think about it.
Right, yeah. It's you feel bad for feeling bad. And then you're embarrassed for feeling bad. So then usually what will happen is you'll try to suppress the feeling. Any of the whole host, the palette of different feelings that we have. Yes, and that there are darker colors in our palette. There are lighter colors in our palette because that's the way we are. We're full, we're a rainbow. And with each one of them, we can either look at it and push it away, and then it comes back, we push it away again. Or we can accept it, and we'll talk in another couple of moments about, you know, what that means. But the Tanya's mashal, right? The Tanya's example then takes on tremendously new meaning of these guests that sort of show up, and then part of our task is learning to really see it and appreciate it. We know that each one of our feelings really like leads us somewhere, and there's a reason for all of it. Like we've expressed many times about feeling scared about something, right? Fear is part and parcel of our body's early warning system. That when we're afraid of something, because, for good reason, because it's built into us to be cautious about things we should be cautious about. Should be cautious when you're holding a knife so that you don't end up cutting yourself while you're like washing the dishes. Now this doesn't mean that you should run away from the sink every time there's a knife there. But that's it seems like an exaggeration, but that's the way that anxiety sometimes can work. There's a difference between being careful and being fearful of it. and yet their root is the same. If we want to get really technical, their root is in Yitzchak Avinu. Their root is in the Midah of Gvura, in the Midah of Yira. Properly used, it finds its apex in use of what we call Yiras HaRomim, of noted learning how to cultivate awe. Learning how to cultivate awe of God's greatness, awe of a person's talents, awe. When used incorrectly, it makes a person afraid of everything. So, in Hasidic thought, Baal Shem Tov referred to these as midos nefulos, that when you have one of these different feelings, emotions, that then are ending up hurting you, it calls it a midah nefula. It's a fallen midah. And part of what our job is to learn to uplift them, to learn to turn them around, as opposed to, you know, to use gvura to be careful for things, from things, to be in awe of things, rather than to, you know, than just to be afraid all the time. So then, what he recommends, which is a very important mindfulness technique, is to be able to become a judge, and not a judge in a bad way. Like normally, the way we think about it, judging is this concept of the inner critic, which also again is stemming from the Midah of Gvura, where you say, look, you're supposed to do this and you failed and you're a bad person and you're always and you're useless. That inner critic. I'm not talking about it like that. He means, he brings an example that a judge can't, in halacha, a judge can't have negias. Right? A judge is supposed to be totally, totally divorced from the case. So in that same way, the sense to judge and to perceive, to evaluate what the actual feeling is right now, and to observe it from every which dimension. That person has a feeling, let's say, oh, this is bad, this is good, just what is it? A person takes the feeling and experiences a feeling, as opposed to trying to push the feeling out. You know, again, accept the feeling, observe the feeling, understand where it's trying to take you. The Rebbe Piasetzna actually writes in this fascinating book at the end of Chovas Talmidim, nobody gets to because it's at the end. He talks about, in his mind, of course this comes from his loss for his forebears, that one of the big points of the non-Chabad Hasidus is that emotions in their depths are coming from higher echelons of reality. Whereas Chabad is a meditation on a musag, on a concept, right? On a concept. The Chabad school of thought is to take a concept, to meditate on the concept, meaning thinking about the concept over and over again as a script and broadening it. He says that the other Hasidic forms are to follow, as opposed to following a thought, Chabad means thought, right? To follow the emotions, and to follow them up, and to follow where they lead. As opposed to going after a thought, and taking a supernal piece of information, and thinking about it. He says to take an emotion, to follow it where it goes. To follow the emotion up, as opposed to feeling the emotion, and then either supporting it, or wondering why you don't have it, or why you do have it. Following it and observing it, and then going with it, which then is a fascinating study, and it seems to be what we're talking about over here. That what we're going to do is we have to observe the emotion and learn more about the emotion and see it as part of your palate, as opposed to something to be ashamed of, to be afraid of. And through that, to sort of make it part of your world. So what then is fascinating is, on one hand, you have this concept of the Yushpizen, because you're welcoming all these different feelings. And similarly, that there was an interesting story I saw in one of those biographies of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that came out a couple of years ago, that there was one specific instance where he kept like wishing l'chaim to somebody who wasn't there. They like didn't know who he was talking to. He was talking about having a certain visitation from one of his forebears, whatever that means. One way we can attach ourselves to the concept, though, is that in Chabad they make they say there's a Hasidic gushpizin also, because in their minds, each one of the days is also represented. Midos is also represented by another one of their teachers who all brought to bear another dimension of that same emotional aspect. And then, as a result, to be as we like to say, accepting influence, meeting influence, like having that encounter with that specific influence in your life. So, in a while, he would say to each one, "Baruch haba," right? "Baruch haba," welcome, welcome. So, in the same way, when we say to our feelings, even ones that we're scared of, "Baruch haba." Welcome. Welcome. Because the second we stop pushing against it, trying to push it out, the more it's going to resist less, the more we're going to see what it's doing here and what we can learn from it, what we can learn about it, what we can learn about ourselves. To say Baruch Haba, because then each one of them is a manifestation of one of these emotions, one of these Midos HaLev. And to say Baruch Haba, so, I'd like to do two exercises again. I'm trying to figure out which one to do first. I guess let's do the one that I initially thought to do first, then we'll do the second one second. So, like everybody, take a minute. I always prefer to relax my entire body to begin with. That's just me. But take a breath in through your nose. Let it out through your mouth. Put your shoulders down. Sink into the chair. Especially these chairs, nice and bouncy in the back. Your shoulder blades sink into the back of the chair. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. Feel the breath coming out through your mouth. Feel that breath breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. I'd like you to let your mind wander a little bit. If you think of something that kind of came up over the course of the Yontifs, whether there was a thought or a feeling over the course of the Yontifs, like let's take a minute or two to think about it, to observe it. You don't have to judge it. Just see what it was. What was that moment? What was like? Whatever strikes your mind first, and it's okay. Whatever it is, it comes up. If nothing comes up, that's fine too. Whatever comes up, take a minute to think over some emotion that came up over the last couple of weeks. Especially all the yontas, a lot of things were stirring. A lot of emotions. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. And observe what you saw, what you felt. Okay, I'd also like you now to ask yourselves if you're still in a looking inward place right now. I'd like you to notice what you're feeling now, like right now. Like what am I feeling right now? Just listen to what your body is telling you, what your emotional state is telling you. What guest is visiting you right now? Right now, are you pushing something out? Or are you welcoming something in? What's nagging at you? What's getting to you right now? Was there something that brought it on? What does it feel like? Does it feel like anywhere in your body? If it's something you're pushing out, what happens if you say, Baruch Haba? Welcome. Welcome. Nice to see you. What does it feel like? Shalom Aleichem, as they say. What they're trying to tell you. When you're comfortable, you can also make a note to yourself.